We are kicking off a new sermon series called My Perfect Facebook Family with perfect and Facebook marked out. Today we're talking about our real families. You know, when it goes to whether it's Facebook, social media, letters we write to people, right? We've got the look that we want to have, and then we've got reality. If you've got your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of Deuteronomy today. That's where we're going to camp out, Deuteronomy chapter 6. But I wanted to kind of start us out by putting us on an even playing field in 1 John 1, 7 through 8. So if you want to turn there first, page 1031 of the Burgundy Bible. If you don't have one of your own, we'll read over that. But first thing I want to just say to you is that there are no perfect families, but there can be loving families. There are no perfect families, but there can be healthy families. Because the reason it can't be perfect is why? Because none of us are perfect, right? So therefore, if you were to go to a family that was perfect and you showed up, they would no longer be perfect again, okay? So 1 John 1, 7, and 8 says this, "But if we're living in the light, as God is in the light, then we will have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth." Okay? So God wants us to have fellowship with each other in the family. So putting him at the center is the start of that. But then if we try to say that we don't have sin, if you're the person in the family that thinks you're the only perfect one in your family and everybody else is just slowing you down, guess what? You're wrong, okay? So oftentimes people think, when they think pastors, I've heard the expression pastor's kids, and it's usually not in a positive light, right? And one of the things I determined when I was answering God's call in my life to go into ministry was, Lord, I don't want my kids to hate the church or to hate ministry. I want them to love it. And one of the great words of advice a friend of mine gave me, they said, Steve, what you need to do is make sure that you love your kids and you let them be who God's created them to be. Don't try to make them be somebody that they're not. Give them that freedom. And so I've done that, and I've got a couple of pictures here that I thought were just of my family so you can see that we're a real family just like yours. So to start with, I have my perfect Facebook family photo, which, look at that. Oh, just so sweet, so innocent. And then we always take a real life photograph. And that's a little bit more like it right there. Let me just give you a word of encouragement. If you want to have good set photos, then always tell your kids you'll do a crazy one after that. It always kind of calms mine down a little bit. And then the next picture, this is a picture of my son. I'm proud. He's in the Marines. He's been deployed. That was on Christmas Day in the morning. We're celebrating. Yeah, woohoo. So that's him in the morning, and this is us in the afternoon after he flies a drone into his sister's hair. Yeah, way to go, son. Good thing he's in the Marines and not the Air Force. So we had to cut that out of her hair as he, not on purpose, but he lands it on top of her head. Okay, this next photo is my family serving at the rescue mission. I was proud of them. They were willing to come out, ring the bell. And my second oldest son there, he's leading the pack. And then just a couple of days later, here he is learning to drive on the roof of a car. He decided it was cheaper to park in the grass, I guess. And so he did a real number on the car. And of course, he said it's because a rock got in his way, right? Somehow that rock was not on the asphalt, I'm just saying. I don't think it came from there. And then this is our great family Facebook picture right here. Now, most families, you know, they want this picture of the kids looking the ocean and holding hands. We're like, okay, everybody holds hands. The best we could get out of my older two boys was to touch fingers. They're like, we are not holding hands. I mean, it's tough, you know what I'm saying? All right, that's good. So here's my point. Listen, if you think somebody else's family has it all figured out, you're wrong. You know, we want to put on Facebook or social media or whatever it is, you know, the positive things that are going on in our lives, right? We want to encourage our kids by bragging on them when they get their awards at school or whatever it is. But the truth is, that's only a part of the picture. There's also the part of the difficult moments where you have to say, okay, you flipped the car, how are you paying for it? Where you have to say, okay, now my daughter has a big hole in her hair, are you going to at least say you're sorry? You know, those hard moments are part of being family. Now, in this room, I know that some folks are single, and we're going to talk about that as a family. You know, you got parents, you got siblings, okay? Some folks are married with no kids, and all these principles we're going to share are going to work, whether it's married, not married, single, married with kids, kids with parents, kids with no parents, whatever. We're going to look at just some principles in God's words the next 3 weeks to help us all learn how to love one another and be there for each other, okay? All right, so turn to Deuteronomy 6 now. Jump over to page 155 in the Burgundy. I keep saying the Burgundy Bible because if you come and you don't bring your own Bible, there's a Bible that's in your seat, and so we can give you the numbers because they're all the same. But if you look the page numbers up in your Bible, it won't work, okay? Just saying. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's in the Old Testament. And when you pick up this passage, this is right when Moses is given instruction. He's given direction to the people of Israel on how to live. He just gave them what we know as the Ten Commandments. He just talked to them about following the Ten Commandments. And then in this passage, he's going to be telling them how they can live that out and how they can live that out amongst their family and amongst their friends. So here's what he says in Deuteronomy 6, chapter 6, verse 4. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Let's go to the Lord and ask God to speak to us as we listen to these words. Lord, I believe people in this room want to love you with their whole heart. That's why they're here instead of sleeping in on a wet, wet day. I believe, God, that overall we really do want to have great families, great relationship with our parents, our siblings, our children. But Lord, sometimes our sin gets in the way. Sometimes pride gets in the way. Sometimes broken relationships are hard to mend. So I pray today, Lord, that your Spirit would speak through me and that I would just be able to encourage folks to love you more and love their families more. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. You got your little listening guide. Open that up. There's a couple of points there, 4 points that we'll be going over today. You can open up your program. And the first one is we want to embrace the Bible as your family instruction manual. This is huge for shaping your family in God's plan, okay? The Bible that we have here has been around 2,000 years, and it's, well, a little bit less than that. It's completed form together. They completed it a couple hundred years after Christ. They put it together what they called a canon, and the books that are in there have been a part of that for about 1,800 years now, okay? Now, in here are stories of people that did well and glorified God, and stories of people that didn't do well. What you won't see in here is anybody except Jesus Christ, who was perfect and lived a sinless life. Okay? There's just not any in there. I mean, some of the great heroes of the Bible, like King David, he had a time where he really messed up, committed adultery, messed up his family for the rest of his life, had some challenges. You read about Moses. Moses was a great leader, one of the best ever. And yet Moses, in a moment of weakness, disobeyed God and was denied to get to go in the promised land. So the beauty about the Bible is they're real people, and we can learn from their mistakes, and we can learn from their successes. But there's also teachings in here that if we read them on a regular basis and we apply them to our lives, it will make a difference in how you treat your wife, your husband, your mom, your dad, your siblings, your children, because it's talking about relationships. So flip over to the New Testament. Hold your finger there, Deuteronomy 6, or put a piece of paper in there. And then flip over to Romans 12. Romans in the New Testament. It's a letter written to the people that lived in Rome. Romans 12, verse 9 through 12. In this passage, Paul is giving the church in Rome instructions on how to live with one another. And he's teaching them on the context of the church as a whole, but he's also teaching them in a way that applies to the very family, to husband, to wife, to children, to parents, to siblings, okay? So here's what he says. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Do I need to read that one again? Don't just to pretend to love your in-laws. Really love them. Don't just pretend to love your stepbrother or stepsister. Really love them. Don't just pretend to love your younger sister that tags along everywhere you go. Your older brother that picked on you all the time you're growing up. Your mom that may have been the greatest mom ever, but just was always so busy. Don't just pretend, but really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and when your kids are in trouble. And keep on praying. Now think about it. If we could just master those three verses in our family, would it not like revolutionize your relationship with your siblings? Be patient in trouble. If I could just figure this one out, dads, how to be patient with my kids when they do something that we've told them a million and one times. How many times have you had to say, turn the light switch off in your bedroom? Can I just get an amen? Somebody feel my pain? I have tried everything. At one time, somebody gave me the advice, charge your kids a quarter every time it happens. I started doing that, and man, I was getting rich, but resentment was building up like crazy. You know? I mean, I've tried having them go back every time and flip the switch, and I'm just going to confess, they're not in here, so don't tell them. I've just given up. I'm like, you know what? For $5 extra a month, just quit whining and flip the switch yourself. I gave up, right? Because it's not a hill to die on. Now, kids, if you hear me say that, go ahead and turn your light switch off anyway. Really, come on. Give your dad a break. He's got to pay the bills. Give your mom a break. She's got to pay the bills. But what are you going to choose to be important? Here's what I'll tell you, make important. Make the Word of God important in your family's life. Choose to use the Word of God as your life's instruction manual. A couple of famous people thought pretty highly of it. This guy says, I believe the Bible is the best gift from God that he's ever given to man. All the good from the Savior of the world is communicated to us through this book, Abraham Lincoln. Who was it that everybody wanted to be like in this last presidential election? Ronald Reagan. I mean, you hear that, Reagan-esque. He has Reagan-esque leadership qualities. What does that Reagan-esque mean? You ever wonder? I mean, like, my last name's Taboo. Would it be like Taboo-esque? You know, you should have Taboo-esque quality. Anyway, all right, sorry. So this is what Ronald Reagan says. Ronald Reagan says, within the covers of the Bible are the answers for all the problems that men will face. Pretty powerful quote. And I believe it to be true. I believe that God has put inside this book the wisdom to build strong families and strong leaders and godly leaders. Dwight Moody said this. He said, out of 100 men, one will read the Bible, the other 99 will read the Christian. It's true, isn't it? If you don't think that others around you are watching to see your character and your actions, you're mistaken. If you mention that, hey, you went to church on Sunday, guess what? They're wondering, is it real? Is he a man or a woman of integrity? How do they treat their spouse? You know, one of the things about life groups that I like is you can't put on a fake attitude very long. Because when you're eating dinner with people and you're seeing them interact with their kids and you're seeing them talk to each other as they're running late and how that works or doesn't work, you learn that all of us have room to grow in our relationships. So first thing is make the Bible that focal instruction manual for your family. Second thing, discuss the Bible in your family again and again. In Deuteronomy, in verse 7, he says, repeat them again and again to your children. Never give up. Can I just say that? Never give up on continuing to teach people about the love of Jesus. Just don't give up. Don't quit. Don't. It is exhausting sometimes. I know you've prayed for people that you love. You reach out to them and you invite them. You tell them that you'll come pick them up for church. You'll do all these things, and sometimes they're just not interested. I got saved when I was about 17, began praying for my family. And my sister got married a couple years after that, and I was continually trying to reach out to her, and I wanted her to come to know the Lord, and I would pray for her, I would invite her, and every now and then I'd push the envelope a little bit too much. She'd say, Steve, you know what, I don't hear anymore. Okay. And I'd kind of get quiet for a while, and then she'd go through a tough spell, and she'd call me up and go, what do you think I should do in this situation? And I'd share some wisdom, and I'd always say, but you know, that's all coming from the Bible, right? That good wisdom comes from the Bible. And yeah, I know, but I'm not interested right now. And then about 5 years ago, her and her husband both gave their lives over to Christ and followed him and followed in baptism and her kids as well. And now this, she just came to visit like about 2 weeks ago, and I'm talking to her. I said, well, what are you guys up to now? And she goes, gum and Jesus. I was like, gum and Jesus? I said, that's interesting. She said, well, we're driving the church bus now, picking people up once a month. And she said, everybody that comes in, we give them a Bible verse and a stick of gum and a word of encouragement. So we call it our gum and Jesus ministry. I was like, how cool is that? My sister that didn't even want to be in church 10 years ago is driving the church bus now with her husband. I was like, go, Jesus, go. So, never give up. Now, what's the easiest way to get this Bible as part of your life and conversation? Now, for my family, easiest for us is to do a devotional. And you might be the person who likes to read books together. We had friends that had, like, Bible verses in a jar, and during their dinner time, they'd pull that out. At one time, we had this little fun Bible quiz thing, And we'd pull that out at every dinner time. We'd ask 5 or 6 quiz questions to learn. For me, the longevity has been take a chapter, read a chapter together. Everybody reads a couple verses, and then we discuss it. Now, just understand that with multi-generation, don't expect to have a really deep conversation every time, okay? Sometimes it's like, why did Joseph get a coat of many colors? How did they sew that in, Dad? What did they use for their dye? I'm like, I don't know. You know, I'm wanting them to pick the deep spiritual conversations. And sometimes they're like, oh, he killed his brother. Oh, cool. And you're going, no, that's not what you're supposed to learn from this. And so reading through the Bible, it will give you interesting conversations. But then you'll read a passage like this in Romans and you'll go, hey guys, how do you think we're doing on this? And oftentimes when I throw that out there, it's because I think I'm doing really good, right? And then sometimes one of my kids will put me in my place and say, well, I don't know, Dad, you're really angry today. And that hurt my feelings. I'm going, because you didn't turn the light switch off. Oh, it's the 300,000th time I had to ask you to do that. And then I say those words like a parent. Well, if you would just obey me, I wouldn't be so mean. Right? So the Word of God, whatever you got to do, get it in your family on a regular basis. My father is still not a believer, and so I've done everything from sending him some Christian movies to watch, to buying him a Bible and writing in it, to sending him a letter explaining about my faith, to sending him a letter thanking him for all the things he's done because he was a good father when I was growing up, and sharing with him about how my Heavenly Father wants to be his father as well, and we could all be this family of God together. And I just don't want to give up. My heartbeat is that every family member I have, that we'll get to be in heaven together for all eternity. That's my heart. And I believe that's the heart of God. Matter of fact, I know it is, because in Peter he says, it's not the will of the Father that any should perish. No, not one. None. Okay? Third thing, incorporate God in all environments of your life. Incorporate God in all environments of your life. Now, in Deuteronomy 6, 7 through 9, he says, talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. So basically what he's saying is, in your everyday life, all the environments of your life, on the road, at home, at work, in your family, every environment. So I contemporized it a little bit here. Talk about them when you're around the dinner table at KFC and McDonald's, driving in the SUV, eating your KFC and McDonald's, tucking your kids in bed at night, having a cup of coffee in the morning, when you're on Facebook, Instagram, or even at the family get-togethers at holidays. Let the word of God always be on your lips. Now, you can do different things. You can put Bible verses on your mirrors, keychains, put scriptures on the walls of your house, paintings. But most of all, you need to have it on your heart. That's what matters. That we write God's word on our heart, and we choose to live by what God's word teaches us. So here's a couple of environments. You can jot these down in those lines below. Spiritual environments. Spiritual environments full of love and truth. You need to be in a church family and get involved. If I would hope it would be the River Community Church. We'd love that to be true for you. But if you don't feel like you're connected here and you try, man, maybe we're messed up, you know? Maybe we're doing something wrong. Come tell me, because I want to get you connected. And not just here on Sunday mornings. I really want you to connect so that when you come in the doors, you see people that you know, you build relationships, and you have people that will pray for you and encourage you when you're going through a tough time. You need to have that support, that strength, others who believe in you and will pray for you, okay? Spiritual environments of love and truth. And for me, I just tell you, I'm so grateful for this church for the sake of my family. When my oldest son decided he was going in the military, there were so many people in this church that went to him and said, hey, can I take you out to lunch? Let me tell you about my experience. Can I share with you some wisdom? Can I share with you some things that I learned and some things I wish I had done and I would do differently? My second oldest son is in the lawn care business, and I was so blessed last year. One of the men in our church took him under his wing and let him work for him for the summer. And in doing so, he learned how to be a godly businessman. And he was mentored by that man. My daughters, there are ladies in this church that you've poured into them during Sunday school and youth group. And they come home and they tell me about that. And I'm like, yes, somebody else is backing up my parenting. I am so grateful. And in my life group, I'm so glad that I'm not the only parent that puts restrictions on what movies their kids to go. Because according to my kids, there's nobody else in this world that tells their kid they can't go see, you know, rated R movies or whatever else. That I'm the only parent that's that wacko that says they can't just watch anything and play any video game they want to. So it's great to be another in a life group where other parents are going, yeah, I don't let my kids do that either. And then, of course, you know, my kids, this is a true story. This is what my oldest kid would always say to me. Yeah, well, Dad, you've brainwashed them. That's what he told me one time. He said, you brainwashed them. They used to get to watch those before they started coming to your church, Dad. You brainwashed them. I was like, I did not brainwash them. I'm sharing with them the word of God, and God has spoken to their hearts. So So in the spiritual environment, you need to be a part of. Second thing, make sure that Jesus is in the middle of your service environments. Find a place where you can serve and make a difference. This weekend is Be the Church weekend. We're trying to set you up for a win. Friday in the evening, Saturday all day, we've got over 20 different projects you can volunteer for. Our hope, I'm not going to lie to you, this is kind of a bait and switch. We're hoping that you'll volunteer and that the Lord will capture your heart and you go, man, I love this ministry we're volunteering for. I think I'd like to do it more often. Maybe it's the rescue mission. Maybe it's the Cookeville Pregnancy Clinic. I don't know where it might be, but I would challenge you, pick one of those places and serve and just see what God does. And maybe you won't keep serving in that environment, but maybe you'll build a friendship that will last you forever. So serving environments and mission trips. I think mission trips, when you go and you serve other people around the world, I think you'll find that'll build your family strong and powerful. One of the best things for us has been the mission trips we've taken overseas. When my children get to see that, hey, everybody in the world doesn't live like we do in America. And when they're serving these orphans that eat the same thing every day, rice and beans, and they realize, guess what? They don't have an Xbox. They don't have Netflix. They don't even have air conditioning. They don't even have running water in the building that they live in. All of a sudden, there's a reality. And so I want to encourage you to get involved in a service environment. Go on a mission trip. Be a part of that. Take your whole family. Invite your parents. One of the neatest things Melissa and I have gotten to do is go on mission trips with our parents and do ministry together in that. Third environment, this is where it gets a little dicey. The entertainment environment. Oh, guess what? Hollywood isn't exactly in line with the Word of God in every movie they make. I know that's a surprise. I know you thought those shades of different colors were probably something that was glorifying to something. But every movie that comes out shouldn't be watched. No matter how many Academy Awards it gets, no matter how many people that in your workplace brag on how great it was, every book shouldn't be read. Somehow there's gotten this mindset of people saying, well, I'm not going to shelter my children because I want to be able to deal with the real world when the real world comes. And I've had so many people say to me, Steve, I don't think you should shelter your children. I'm like, really? And I used to be really docile, is that the word? Not saying anything back. Trying to just say, you know what? Everybody has a different opinion. But I don't really know of any parent that doesn't shelter their child. Let me give you a test. How many of you in here that have children would go to the inner city Memphis where I grew up, drop your child off at 7 years old to live with a drug dealer and a pimp? Anybody? Don't you want them to experience the real world? I mean, don't you want them to understand what the real world's all about? No, you don't. Because you shelter your children. And you should. That's called being a parent. So the next time somebody says you shouldn't shelter your child, you say, yes, you should. And yes, I will. Now, we all have different levels, right? That's where we got to understand. I'm probably a little bit more protective in the entertainment industry than most people. According to my kids, I'm like Mr. Scrooge, okay? All right? But I'm probably a little bit more permissive than a lot of people in what I allow my kids to actually participate in. Whether that be the fact that I think all of them have had at least stitches twice from riding their bikes as fast as they can down the hill or some of the extreme things that we do for fun. So everybody's going to be in a different place, and all parents aren't the same. All families aren't the same, and that's okay. And so I'm not here today to tell you that this is the line that you need to draw. That's between you and Jesus. But here's what I know, because whenever my kids give me a hard time, they're like, Dad, why can't I play that video game? Dad, why can't I watch that movie? Dad, I always say, listen, one day I'm going to stand before Jesus, and I'm going to give an account of how I parented you kids. And I'm pretty confident he's not going to be too mad at me that I kept you from watching that movie. I don't think he's going to say, Steve, you know, you're pretty overbearing. You really should have let them watch that movie. I don't think he's going to say that. But what he might say to me is, Steve, because you wanted to watch that movie and you felt guilty about not letting them watch it, you let your guard down, and what you did in moderation, they did in excess. And so for me as a parent, I want Jesus to be in all my environments, including entertainment. And for some, it's going to be different than others. You could put me in a room with 100 people drinking alcohol and getting drunk, and that's not a temptation to me. You send me to an NFL football game, and it's going to be hard for me to watch the game if there's cheerleaders in front of me. Just being honest, okay? Everybody's temptation is a little bit different. And we've got to choose to limit ourselves for the glory of God. We've got to choose to limit our behavior, our decisions, our actions, what we watch, what we listen to in the music world. Because garbage in through the eyes and the ears comes out as garbage out through the mouth and actions. And so, as a family, I challenge you to put Jesus first in the entertainment world. Somebody gave me this information, and I love it now. It's called PureFlix. The word pure, and then F-L-I-X. Kind of like, it works just like Netflix, only it's either Christian movies or all clean movies or all clean cartoons. And I literally can let my kids watch that and not worry about anything. Just like when I was a kid, you know. My parents never worried about what was on TV because everybody knew that from morning till 8 p.m. at least, it was all stuff you're okay with your kids watching. But that's just not true anymore. So we've got PureFlix. I like that. We Christian radio. Man, when I was a kid, they didn't have Christian radio except preaching. Now they've got some great music. I was just talking to two different families that went down on Good Friday to some awesome Christian concert they had in Nashville. And they're like, man, that was one of the most awesome experiences we've had. Take your family together to Christian music. Find stuff your kids like. Listen, moms, dads, you may not like rap music, but there's a great rap artist named Lecrae that loves Jesus with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you would do well to get your kid hooked on him and the words that are in there. The rest of that stuff, burn. I'm just saying, okay? All right. Did you know that YouTube has a filter? It does. At the very bottom, you can turn the restrictions off and on. Did you know that Netflix has parent settings? It does. I just want to encourage you. I'm not telling you to live in such a bubble that you don't ever hear a cuss word, or you go to work and you hide from people that talk bad. Jesus says, be in the world, but not of the world. Okay? And the entertainment world is one that we have a choice on. All right. And then I always hear people say, well, you know, my kids, they don't like my music. I'm sorry, but how many of you, like me in my generation, had to listen to Elvis Presley in the car wherever you went? You know what I'm saying? It's like my mom and dad didn't say, well, that's okay. I know you don't like Elvis. We'll change the station. Yeah, whatever. We're putting another 8-track in, baby. Listen on. So, sorry, I had flashbacks there for a minute. All right, next, educational environment. Fourth environment, educational environment. Listen, in your educational environment, whether you're in college, elementary school, parents of children in school, make your decisions for your education based more on your faith than you do based on their future. What I mean by that is whether you go to public school or private school, go and meet your teachers of your kids. Go and introduce yourself to them. Get involved in some way that you can. Drive on a field trip, whatever. Try to build a relationship. Let them know that you care about what's taught in their classroom. and let them know that you care about your values and your faith. Whether you go private, whether you go public, whether you go homeschool, each family has to make their own decision. But what I would challenge you to do is whatever decision, put Jesus at the center of that decision. Some choices you'll have will make it a whole lot harder. And you'll have to work even harder. But what I would say to you is your kids are worth with your school teachers more than anybody else in their lives. So you need to understand what they're teaching, and you need to give your 2 cents. And you need to know their teachers, pray for their teachers daily, and be an influence in that classroom. For me, I'll just tell you, I went to Tennessee Tech for my college, and I got the best Christian education ever. I had a couple of professors that were very bold in their faith, and they influenced me on how I could be bold in my faith. I got involved with other college students that were in love with Jesus, and man, it just fueled my fire even more. So I would just encourage you, whether you're going to college, pray about what college God wants you at. Whether you're sending your kids to school, pray about what school that needs to be in. God's got the best plan. Let's put Jesus at the center of those environments. Next one's family environments. We talked about how you could do that in your immediate family, but your extended family, just because somebody's family doesn't mean you have to let your kids go and be with them. Okay? Every environment isn't healthy. We have some family members in our family that are unhealthy. And so I make a decision, and my wife and I make a decision that our kids won't go and spend the night at their homes. Our kids won't even go sometimes to some family members and just hang out because their values are so contradictory to our values that we'll spend time at our home and invite them to come over anytime. We'll go together as a family to play at their home or whatever, but we don't just release our kids to be in their home. Does that make sense? I've got some pretty rough members that don't have the same values. And I'm grateful. My mom, she chose because of some family members that I didn't know. I always wondered why I couldn't go see this certain family member and why we only saw them at Christmas and Easter when everybody was together. And it was because when she was growing up, she knew how abusive they were towards her. And so she chose to protect us and shelter us from that same abuse. Parents, even if it makes someone angry, you be the parent. We've had some challenging conversations, but my first responsibility as a dad is to protect my kid. Not to make my brother-in-law, my sister, my aunt, my cousin impressed by my willingness to let my kids be with them. So, family environments. Talk about it as a couple. Figure out what's healthy. I have people ask me all the time. They say, Christmas is coming and my aunt is going to be there or my cousin or my mom and it's going to be really a lot of tension, and it's hard. Here's what I say. We're called to love everyone, okay? You read this book. We're called to love everyone, and we're called to forgive everyone. We're not called to trust everyone. There's a big difference, okay? So in that environment. So next one is friendships. Pretty much the same thing kind of applies for friendships. In that environment, adults, choose people that will help you grow in your faith. If the bulk of your friendships are people that pull you down in your faith, you need to make some new friendships. Doesn't mean you have to throw your old friendships away, but you need people who are your friends that will spur you on to love and to good deeds. Friends that when you go to them with troubles with your spouse and you go, oh, you won't believe it, she's driving me crazy. They're not the kind of friend that goes, oh man, I understand. My last four wives did the same thing. Let me give you some advice. There's more fish in the sea. Right? No, you need to go to that friend that when you say, my wife's driving me crazy, they say, well, you might want to get your act straight because you've been a jerk lately, buddy. Right? You need to get those friends that will tell you the truth, that will love you enough to be honest. So friendships. I hope you know that we're in a battle. I was talking to a friend, and man, we've been in so many different wars, it seems lately, that, you know, the military is on alert so much, and whether it's Syria or North Korea recently and all this stuff, and they're on high alert. But another one of my friends was in the military when nothing was going on. And he said it was the worst time in the world to serve in the military. I said, why is that? He said, because nobody cared. He said in his division, he was in the Navy. He said they were dry docked. Nobody was going to war. There was no reason to have the boats outside of the dock that they're in. So they just sat there and cleaned the boat for a year. He said nobody cared. Nobody wanted to be there because there was no battle to be fought. And what happens? We get lulled to sleep, right? It's the same way in our families. When things are going good, so many times we put it on coast, right? We put the cruise control on and we go, you know what? Things are good. And we forget there's a battle raging. 1 Peter 5:8 says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. The devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy your family. That's his goal. That's his agenda. And you need to realize you are in a battle 24/7. And don't get lulled to sleep just because you're not seeing it right now. I was talking to somebody earlier after first service, and I said, you know what my challenge as a parent is when my kids are going through a crisis and they're driving me crazy and maybe rebelling against something, man, I hit my knees and I pray and I'm proactive and I want to talk to them every night and see how things are going and check on their homework and dialogue. But when things are going really good, it's real easy for me to hit cruise control and just go, oh, it's fine, and spend less time with them and not encourage them when everything's going well. And so the last point, the fourth point in this, is that don't forget God when things are going well. Don't forget God when things are going well. Sometimes we tend to go to Him when things are tough, but what about when things are going well? It's easy to put it on cruise control. I got a call, this is probably about 8 years ago, I got my first call. A fellow that I'd seen come to the Lord out in California. I mean, this guy was a rough fellow. I mean, he and his wife, at that time they were just boyfriend, girlfriend, had been kicked out of Hell's Angels. They were both members of Hell's Angels. They'd been kicked out and had their bikes taken from them because they wanted a monogamous relationship with just each other. So they were like getting moralistic before they even knew what morals were. And then, so they're trying to rebuild their lives. They came to church. They came to know Christ. They got married. They start walking with Jesus. And man, he was on fire. I mean, he was teaching Sunday school. He and his wife, they were there every time the doors were open. The kids went on a mission trip with me. I was a youth pastor. He was fired up. I moved away. And several years later, it was about maybe 8 years ago or 6 years ago, he called me up. And he said, Steve, it's horrible. My family's not doing well. My wife's talking about leaving me. I'm miserable. I'm unhappy. I'm going back to some of my old bad habits. I just found your phone number and thought I'd call. So I talked with him for over an hour, prayed with him, said, look, Bill, what church are you at? He's like, well, I hadn't been in church in a couple of years. You know, my business took off and I was making great money, and so I needed to work more, so I started working 6 and 7 days a week, and I just didn't have time for church, and everything seemed to be going okay, and then all of a sudden the wheels just fell off. You see, when things got going well, he didn't think he needed God anymore. And so we prayed. I said, look, Bill, it's not too late to turn around, turn away from that sin, go back, do the right thing by God first, and then who knows, your family might return. And so he did. Called me up. Man, things are going so much better. We're plugging in, this, that, and the other. My wife decided to stay. Way to go. Decided for him. Didn't hear from him for like another 4 years. Guess what the next phone call was? Steve, my wife left me. My kids hate me. I don't even want to live anymore. Bill, where are you at with Jesus? Well, I quit going to church a couple of years ago again, and I don't know. I don't have time for it. God's on the back burner. Sadly, this time, he wasn't able to rescue his family. The devil's after us. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy your family. We've got to be proactive. We've got to be in the Word. We've got to get the Word in our families. We got to walk in all these environments with Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you to bow your head with me. In the Deuteronomy passage that we just read, the last part said, be careful to never forget God. Never forget the Lord. I want to ask you today, are you here today and perhaps you've forgotten the Lord? Maybe things have been going pretty good. And maybe today's like, you know what, we'll go to church. But is Jesus Christ at the center of your life? Because if he's not at the center, then all these other environments can begin to swallow you whole. Your sports can begin to take over. Your job can begin to take over. Your friendships can begin to take over. And God begins to move from the driver's seat to the passenger seat to the back seat. And so I would just ask you today, do you need to tell God he's first again? Do you need to turn away from your past and turn to Jesus? If so, then I encourage you to do that. Or maybe you're in here today and you've never known the family of God. You see, God says that he wants to adopt everyone into his family. That literally he wants to be your father and you be his child. If you've never done that before, the first step is to pray and give your life to Jesus Christ. So if God is speaking to your heart now, and I want to invite you to pray a prayer to the Lord and to yourself following after me. Dear God, today I want to give you my life. Today I confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Please forgive me for the junk and poor decisions of my past. I want to follow you. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.